Our first reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Listen for the word of the Lord. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here ends the first reading.
From the Gospel of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Tom Curry is an outstanding pastor, theologian, recently retired as the dean of the Charlotte campus of Union Presbyterian Seminary. Tom tells a story about visiting a church where one of his seminary students was serving as an intern. Like many congregations much smaller than this one, this particular church has a time of sharing during worship in which people are invited to lift up joys, sorrows, and concerns before the pastoral prayer. There were several concerns shared that Sunday, and as the time of sharing came to an end before the prayer, a young man stood up who looked somewhat disheveled in appearance, a guy who might have been living on the edge, and yet he was strangely calm. Tom, accustomed to more formal worship like ours, admits he thought to himself, and not too generous of spirit, "I wonder what this guy is going to say." The man stammered a bit, and then he said, "I just want to say that this day does not stink. This day is a gift." The theologian in Tom reflected upon that moment, saying, "I have heard more genteel paraphrases of Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But few have been more eloquent or heartfelt. I can imagine that is as about as close a translation of what the Samaritan leper said to Jesus upon his return to thank him for healing his leprosy. This day does not stink. This day is a gift. Thanks to God. Our scripture from Luke's gospel is a small but powerful story about gratitude, fashioned by a personal experience with Jesus Christ. It pictures one healed leper, his face pressed to the ground before the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. But in Luke's wonderful style of narrative, these nine little verses are much richer than a simple synopsis. Always say thank you, especially to God. This is a story about how life itself is a gift from God, and how God calls forth gratitude as our first response. To have leprosy in Jesus' time was to lose your life, and to lose it in layers. Another pastor has noted of this text, whenever we lose something, whether it's a much-loved person or a treasured pet, or a season of well-being and good health, our sorrow can involve many layers of loss. Some layers are obvious and others only become clear over time. The death of a parent, for example, means the loss of a loved one, but also the loss of one whom others loved, such as a grandparent. The loss of a sense of home, the loss of an era gone by, the connections to one's youth, one's identity as that person's child. A significant loss can cause deepening layers of grief to peel back one by one. Many of us know what it's like to undergo a significant loss or trauma that is akin to losing part of our life in deepening degrees of significance. To have leprosy in Jesus' time was to lose your life in layers, and usually you lost them forever. First, you were removed from your family and community, condemned to a beggar's life. According to the laws of Leviticus, lepers were declared unclean. They had to wear torn clothes so as to identify themselves to others, and they were forced to live far away from the community on the outskirts of town. We read in Luke's gospel how the 10 lepers, keeping their distance, called out to Jesus. Secondly, they lost the ability to worship God, because according to the rules of their faith, they were not allowed inside the temple. There was actually a northwest corner space for them set apart called the leper's chamber court. Finally, to be a leper in Jesus' day meant to lose your dignity. For people regarded this medical condition not just as a disease, but also as God's judgment. Being required to shout, unclean, unclean, was not just a warning of being contagious. It was a theological claim that one was cursed by God. So in our story today, Jesus is not just healing 10 sick people. He is restoring them to life, layer by layer. When he sends the lepers to the priests to declare them clean, Jesus restores them to everything, to health, to worship, to society, to family, to life itself, restored in layers. Of the 10 who are healed, only one is consciously grateful to Jesus. And what is truly amazing is the grateful leper who comes back to say thanks is also a Samaritan. descendants of Assyrian captives who intermarried among the races, Samaritans were already outcast in the midst of Galilean Jews like Jesus and his friends. A Samaritan leper then was a double outcast, the absolutely least likely to be depicted as a role model of faith. But this Samaritan leper, when he saw that he was healed, did not go straight to the temple priest, but with a gesture normally reserved for worship, he fell on his face in thanksgiving before Jesus. Jesus said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you whole." Or another translation is, "Your faith has saved you." For 10, the leprosy was cured. But for one, the one who returned, the one who realized who Jesus was, his grateful faith saved him. I am grateful to a friend in this congregation, a cancer survivor, who shared with me Tom Brokaw's recent memoir, A Lucky Life Interrupted, about his journey from being a globe-trotting journalist and ever-active outdoorsman to being a cancer patient. In 2013, at the age of 73, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, an incurable but treatable blood cancer. Tom Brokaw describes with honest candor how his being diagnosed with cancer began to peel back so many layers of coming to terms with what this meant for his life, for his family, his sense of vocation. Then gradually, his increasing empathy for others and a deeper spirit of reflection. There was the shock that rattled his sense of invincible well-being first. Then the concern for his family who would have to take this journey with him. The need to put on hold what he thought had been well-timed plans for both work and adventure. Tom Brokaw's journey with cancer takes him into the realization that doctors are well-trained in treating disease, but that other care is needed for one's psychological and spiritual trauma. He recognized that wealth can provide access to care that is inaccessible to the poor, and his capacity for empathy grew for the cancers and conditions of others. As his own journey peels away the layers of a life that had assumed a much different pathway, what does he discover? That at the heart of his life, above all else, is a most profound sense of gratitude. Gratitude for his loving family, gratitude for his marriage and daughters and grandchildren and amazing friendships, gratitude for small town roots that ground him despite a career that has taken him everywhere, more gratitude for this good earth and its people. And out of that spirit of gratitude, he uses his own experience of cancer to give himself to others, in love for his family, as a consultant to physicians about healing the whole person, as a mentor to other cancer patients, and in his vocation as a more seasoned and sympathetic human being. He asked towards the end of his book, "Has cancer changed me? Am I a better person? That's for others to judge. All I know is that in family, access to excellent care, the resources to pay for it, the chance to remain a journalist, and with a cohort of interesting friends, I remain a lucky guy. At age 75, I have moved into the neighborhood of life where there are no long-term leases. It is a time to quietly savor the advantages of life and to use them to fill every waking moment with emotional and intellectual pursuits worthy of the precious time we have. Tom Brokaw's journey into cancer is ultimately a journey into a more profound depth of gratitude. You know, we can never be too harsh toward the 9 lepers who walked away and did not return to Jesus. They were simply doing what Jesus said to do, heading out to the temple priest to be declared well. The only difference between the 9 and the 1 is that the Samaritan who returned recognized the work of God in Jesus of Nazareth and was bowled over in gratitude for that. That old sage Presbyterian minister and writer Frederick Buechner once described a Christian saying, "Some of us think of a Christian as one who necessarily believes certain things, like Jesus was the Son of God or that Mary was a virgin. Some think of a Christian as one who necessarily does certain things, such as going to church, getting baptized, reading the Bible, doing a good deed a day, being a nice person." But Buechner then notes, a Christian is not necessarily nicer than anybody else, just better informed. Because a Christian has at least some dim and half-baked idea of whom to thank. Like the Samaritan leper, I hope and believe each of us knows whom to thank for life and all its many wonderful layers. That is precisely the celebration of the church's stewardship season, which will culminate at the end of the month by the dedication of our pledges. This is a season for everyone to consider the layers of our life as gifts of God made known to us through the person of Jesus Christ, and to respond with gratitude to God for the multi-layered life we all have. Growing in generosity is never just about dollars and cents. It is first about gratitude to God for all that God has given us. So today, the Samaritan leper invites us to consider the healing presence of God in our lives. The redemptive presence of Christ in this broken world. The promise of Jesus to be in this place whenever 2 or more of us gather in his name. The challenge of Jesus sending us out in ministry and mission and service. And the welcome of everyone who might join us and grow with us, turning toward Jesus saying, "Thanks. Thanks for all of it, for every layer of our life." Amen.